Good morning and welcome to our auditorium class. We are in trouble over many things. And for those of you that have been in here for the entire time, can you see the book? There it is. We've really had a good study and I've really appreciated everybody's feedback and input over time. Gary and I certainly have appreciated all of the good comments that we've had in class. And we have appreciated everybody's participation and your personal experiences and how the things we've studied have had impact on you as well. We've had a lot of topics. We're going to do a little bit of a summary tonight, this morning. I'm recording at night, but it's in the morning. We're going to have a little bit of a summary at the end of the class, but I'll just keep you about 30 minutes and then the class will be over. So we are now on the last class, Troubled Over Growing Old. And so I'm going to share some things with you on the slides that I prepared. So you'll be able to see those and hopefully that will be a benefit to you as well. And we'll get that started. If you give me just a minute. And here we are. So we're talking about being troubled over growing old. And that's a subject that, you know, there's many of us can relate to. Here again is our family that we have used as our example through the entire class, or I have anyway, the family that is growing old. And everybody's growing old in life. That's just part of it. It's not bad to get old. It's just inconvenient at some times. That's what someone has said that was referred to in the book. Had a friend though, probably 13 years ago, and he's a few years older than I am, and he said, growing old's not for sissies, and it's harder than it looks. So some of you may be able to relate to that. But here's the thing, growing old is part of life. If the normal course of life continues, then we will grow old. Unless there's some type of sickness or premature death or accident that causes us to not live into our elder years. So that's one of those things that is just part of this physical experience. We will finish that one day, and then we will head into the eternal world where we will be with God, and we're working toward that every day as Christians. You know, the other thing I guess that happens sometimes with growing a little bit old is we once could do things that were really easy and maybe they're not as easy anymore. So again, you just have to kind of roll with it, I guess is the name of the game. In Titus, the second chapter in verses 1-6, it kind of gives us a little bit of instruction about what older men and women should do for the younger men and women and how the older should care enough to teach the younger who should also try and listen, because it would be to their benefit to listen to the things that those that are older can share. Basically, what it can do is it can help eliminate a lot of heartache and a lot of trouble and trials and tribulations and problems if the younger will listen to the wisdom that some of the older have acquired over the years. Turn your Bibles to Titus, the second chapter, verses 1-6. That's Titus, the second chapter, verses 1-6. Let's read that together, if you will. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith and love and patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded. And in verse 7, it goes on and says, in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that can but not be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having not evil to say of you. So, you know, we're talking about character traits that should be a part of who we are. And as we grow older, hopefully we've developed the kind of wisdom that is necessary to be able to share that with younger people. Now, that can be our sons, that can be our daughters, that can be friends, that can be young men that are working to grow in the church, that can be any one of us that have relationships with one another where we can try and pass along things that we have learned and developed over the course of our life. So as we, again, think about this thing of growing old and the troubles that sometimes this life causes us to have to face, you know, there's a reality. And I guess, I don't know, it wasn't until just in the last few years that it really started hitting me. And I'm 63, almost at a 62, but I'm 63. 1 year I lost a year somewhere, and my family made fun of me for probably a year. But anyway, I'm 63. I'll be 64 in December if I make it that long. But here's the thing, you know, you finally begin to face the fact that life is not forever. When you're younger, you don't think that way. You think life goes on forever. But then we have things that happen that cause us to stop and think, just like what we're going right now through with this coronavirus. It affects older folks for sure because of their immune systems and potentially compromising health issues they might have, but it can also impact young people as well. So we certainly need to recognize that as we get through certain parts of our lives, that time is shorter and we're hopefully going to respond in different ways. We're going to think about what our priorities are. We're going to say, okay, how we spend our time. And again, right now, what's going on today in the world that we live in, it is really causing everybody to stop and think about how they spend their time and what is important to them. If you look at, you know, the time that you've already had on this earth, do you have an equal amount of time left? I know I don't, because I'm not going to live to be 126. So I've got a lot less left than I've already lived. And so we need to come to terms with that in our older years. Really, it's better if we come to terms with it in our younger years and understand, recognize what God expects of us and how we're going to be responsible in representing Him while we are here on this earth. But as those that have grown older, Proverbs 16:31 says, gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. So we want to try and live right in the eyes of God and also, you know, be concerned about what He wants us to do. But the question is, how do you react to growing old? Some people react to growing old very poorly. Some people don't deal with it very well at all. Some people become withdrawn, gloomy, pessimistic, and bitter, and basically think, you know, nobody cares about me, which rolls into some of the other ones, where basically they make their lives, you know, the lives of their family members difficult, try and be hard on them because they want more attention. Some become selfish and overly demanding, and it's just not the kind of people that God would have us to be. Some become critical of nearly everybody and everything. They just become sour, just really, whether it's because of health problems or because of losing a spouse or whatever it might be, they just become sour on life. And that is not the way that we are supposed to be. That's not what God expects of us. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, in verses 16 through 18. God does not expect us in those years to be sour or complacent or anything else. He has expectations of us. And as we approach being closer to being with Him for eternity, that should be revealed in our spirit as well. In 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, in verses 16 through 18, it says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And that's what that verse is talking about. For our light affliction, this life, which is but for a moment, remember how God measures time, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Kind of like what it talks about in Hebrews, the 11th chapter and verse 1. While we do not look at the things which are seen, verse 18, but at the things which are not seen. For these things which are seen are temporary for a little while, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so we've got to decide if we're going to be focused on the eternal or the physical as we get a little bit older and get to that place in our lives. Some do manage to stay young at heart. They're interested in life and they like to do the very best they can up to the very end. I've heard stories of folks that said, you know, people that had the greatest spirit when they passed from this life, just because they were so positive and the kind of impact they try to have on other people. We, as God's children, want to be that people. It's the dignity with which we need to live our lives as we age and as we have the opportunity to be the example to others in our appreciation of the blessings that God has given us in this life while we do await eternity. And look at Psalms. I want you to read that with me as well. Turn your Bibles to Psalms, the 92nd chapter in verses 12 through 15. Psalms, Proverbs, of course, the entire Bible gives us lots of things that help us, but there's some really good scriptures here specifically, 92 and 12 through 15. It says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall set bare fruit in old age, they shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." Now, those of us that have more gray hair than we have dark hair, we should be thinking about if we're that way. If we are that way, do we flourish? Do we show that God is our rock? Do we try and live the kind of life that it talks about where we bear fruit in old age? You know, it is amazing the number of people over the years that I've seen that just kind of seem like they want to quit. But, you know, we don't do that. That's not what God wants of us or expects of us. So how do we approach growing old? There's plenty of Bible for what aging should look like. Proverbs 20 and 29, the youth have strength, old gray hair. I mean, you know, it goes from one to the other. We're not going to be as physically strong, but what we don't have in physical strength, we should have in strength in our heart and our mind and our spiritual persons. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, don't lose heart over those physical things that you do lose. Luke 17, 33, this life does not matter. It's eternity that matters. And we will grow old and die to get to eternity. So we've got to be ready for that and understand that's going to be the case. Proverbs 23, 22, listen to your father and what he gave us. Don't despise your mother when she's old. So that's the counsel that a father and a mother are supposed to give the young people, to our sons, to our daughters, to those that are younger that are members of the body of Christ. And in Psalms, a number of those verses, and I want you to look those up a little bit later because this is recorded, and you can go back and look at it later. You can take your phone and snap a picture of this slide if you want to look those verses up. God is with us, and he is who we should desire to have a relationship with for all of our life while we're here on this earth and for eternity. And if we do give ourselves to him while we're here, we will be with him for eternity in heaven. The trials and tribulations of the infirmity of the body. As we grow old, our bodies undergo big changes and we begin to have problems with our sight and our strength. And ultimately we die. But again, as Christians, that should not be something that we should be afraid of. Check that out, Ecclesiastes 12, 3 through 7. And those physical changes are real. And he does a really good job of talking about the physical changes in life and how real they are. And you need to look that up and relook at that in the lesson, if you will, because I can't get into that right now because of our time limitation. But if we're in God, while the outward body begins to give way, the inward man should be getting renewed day by day, like we looked at again in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter in verses 16 through 18. And when we grow old, we should not forsake the Lord. There have been people that have served God early in life and forgotten him in later years. They were strong Christians. They were very involved. They had a lot of impact on the kingdom, but then they basically gave up. In our later years, what we should work on doing is increasing the time that we have to give for the Lord and give more to Him. In Psalm 71, 9, 17 through 18, something I referred to earlier there as well. One of the things that sometimes can be a problem for folks as they grow older is loneliness. And we've got to be careful as Christians to not let that influence our personality to negatively drive others away and think about the impact that we have on them. We should stay energized and engaged with other people for our entire lives. It will be energy to us. It will help us to be encouraged. And we've got an incredible opportunity to encourage other people too, if we will but take that opportunity and do that every day. Also, we don't want to be insensitive. Many times that will happen as well. Ephesians 4:31, 32 says, be careful that you don't develop the habit of being too blunt with people to the point of injury. And a lot of times folks will just say, hey, well, you know, I'm older and I can say what I want to say. I can say my piece and it's okay. Well, maybe what we should try to do is be honest with people, but not be hurtful with people, and try and share the truth with them and help them any way that we can, but not to the point of being insensitive to those individuals. The aged should bear fruit for the Lord. Two great examples he pointed out in the book, and there's so many others too. Noah was a great example of that as well for the responsibility he had and what he did. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron was 83 when they were called to lead God's people out of Egypt in Exodus 7:7. So he had a responsibility. And when Moses was making all of his excuses about what he couldn't do and what he could do, one of them was not, hey, man, I'm 80 years old and I can't do this. I'm 80. So, you know, certainly folks lived older at that point in time. But today we are many times healthier in our golden years than we have ever been before in the history of our current lifetime. So what are we doing to continue to be active in service to God in the way that we help Him, represent Him, help the church? So growing old should also promote counseling to young people. And again, young people, who do you pay attention to? Do you pay attention to your peers with gray hair? Or do you pay attention to your peers or to those with gray hair? That's what I was trying to say. Rehoboam asked for and heard the counsel of those older men. But what did he do? He rejected their counsel and he took the counsel of his peers. And the result was he followed the wrong counsel and things turned out poorly for him. The counsel of the aged should be sought and respected as long as it conforms to the divine truth from God. Titus, the second chapter, verses 3-5, and James, the third chapter, in verse 17. We need to make sure that we, as older people, are giving solid counsel to those that are young. Many congregations, the book points out, has really suffered because they don't have adequate leadership, because older members, they finish their jobs, they retire, they move somewhere where they can play golf, fish, garden, do whatever they want to do, just live a life of leisure after they have retired from physical jobs, but they sometimes also retire from service to the Lord, and it can create a real leadership gap. So we got to make sure that we don't have that happen in our lives. You know, as we get older, as we age, we've got to understand that this life is short. And we've got a responsibility to do the best we can in the kingdom, in growing for all of our years, but also for the counsel that we provide to others. Let's don't be bitter about getting old. I've been so encouraged over the years, over the last 20, 30 years of my life, in seeing folks that are older than I am, that have always been at services. No matter what, they have always been at services. They are always there with a smile on their face. They're always looking to be encouraged from the teaching, from the singing, from the preaching, from the prayers. And they certainly understand and embody what God would have us to do in the people that we're trying to be in our lives every day. So as we get older, we need to try and reflect that in our lives as well. Okay, so now we've got about 10 minutes that I want to do on a review of what we've talked about. So in this class where we said we're troubled over many things, those troubles overcome through God's word, and this is something that I've showed you a lot. And really, you know, it's kind of ironic that we're going through what we are right now with the coronavirus, because everybody, for the most part, has been put on lockdown. And you're seeing in my neighborhood, I look out the window of my office and I see while I'm working during the course of my workday, because I'm still working from home every day, and still our business is an essential service company, and our graphics company, we're not having to interact with other people. So we're able to continue to have our graphic designers work and those people work. So they're all very fortunate. We've got people that are being laid off. We've got people that are being furloughed. We've got people that are losing their jobs. We've got people that are displaced and working from home, and they don't know how to deal with that because they've never had to do it before. One of the other things that I'm noticing as I look out my window is I'm seeing a lot more fathers with their children. A lot more fathers with their children. Fathers, you've got responsibilities to your children. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 4. You got a responsibility to teach them and try and bring them up right, show them the things that are important in life. And really the most important things are a relationship with God, prayer, Bible study, making sure that our priorities are right in the way that we live every day. And it's this whole concept of intentional living that I've been trying to push this whole class. And Gary has done a great job, and I appreciate everything that he has done. I know everybody has, and I've heard that from a lot of folks. But I would just again ask you for one last time as we kind of go through some of this, are you living in an intentional, proactive life? Are you living a life that reflects your love for and commitment to God? Because one way to avoid dealing with troubles in life poorly, maybe is a good way to say that. There's going to be trouble in life. There's going to be problems that we're going to encounter. There's going to be challenges that we face. But if we live in a proactive, intentional way through Christ, there's not anything that we encounter we can't overcome, Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer Jim, I, who lives, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So if I live that way, through Christ and him living through me, there's not any trouble that I come against that I won't be able to overcome. We talked about the armor of God a lot in the classes that I taught in 6:14 of Ephesians 6:14. And it tells us, let's just go ahead and look at it, even if I don't get to get through all of what I've got prepared here for you this morning, I want to go ahead and look at this. But what are the defenses that we have in the armor of God? And that is Ephesians 6:14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness or right living, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, all the troubles that come in life, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Through all of that, we can encounter, deal with everything that happens. And the way that we do that too is in this intentional life, we begin every day with God's word in prayer, in study, in understanding who we are and what we want to make our lives for him every day. So if you think about things from God's perspective, look at it this way. If you're troubled over many things, how can we change things that happen? Sometimes we can't. But if we let those things control us, then we've given control away. And the only control that we really want to give away is what we just talked about a few minutes ago in Galatians 2:20. We want to give our lives to God. We want to be who he would have us to be. In Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Jesus Christ, who strengthens me. Who strengthens me? Christ lives through me. That's the person I'm going to be in my life every day. So give control to God. If all of us, all of us as Christians at West End Church of Christ, give control to God, then what is the world going to see in who we are? What is the world going to see in how we live and how we talk and what our priorities are and what we do on Sunday morning? We get up and we go to our building and we come together to show our love for one another, to encourage one another, to help each other be lifted up in the truth. They see us on Wednesday night when we go to our building, which we can't do now, right now anyway. And they see that we've made a commitment to something that is very important to us. That's not just going to church. It's going to study God's word with those of a like precious faith to better understand what we need to do to please him. You know, the other thing that we're doing is we're living for the promises that Christ has made to us. 2 Peter's first chapter in verses 1 through 4 talks about the great and exceeding precious promises that have been made to us. And we need to live our lives now for eternity. I showed this slide a lot during the beginning of this class. If you're going to hit a target, it's like with a bow and an arrow, you've got to not worry about things you can't do anything about. And this one in particular, I was talking about worry. It's unbecoming for children of God. It's futile. It undermines our faith. It's just a problem, and we can't do that. If we live an intentional life, then we know that we're going to be focused on the target, like the bullseye for the guy shooting the bow, and then we can zero in on what needs to happen. Again, if we have a Bible-based intentional life, here's what's going to happen. If we're proactive, we're going to have a game plan. Our mind's going to be clear. We're going to let Christ be revealed in us. But if we react, we just wait to see what's going to happen. We continue to be consumed with the things that you'll do nothing about, and we let the world pass us by just being miserable. We don't want to be that way. And, you know, a lot of times if we're troubled over many things, again, just like this coronavirus right now, if we are constantly worried about the coronavirus, then we have let the things of this world overcome our relationship with God. Matthew 6, 24 through 34 says he takes care of the lilies of the field and the birds in the air. And you know, I've had the windows open to my office over the last week or so and listened to the birds. The singing of the birds has never sounded sweeter. The trees, seeing the trees bloom in the spring, it's been absolutely beautiful. I know that God's going to take care of me whatever happens in this life and for eternity. So, you know, when you look at 24 through 34 of Matthew there, it tells you a little bit about why we shouldn't worry, why we should put our faith and confidence in God. The other thing I showed a lot was this right here. Would this reflect the way our Bibles look prior to the last couple of weeks? Are we studying our Bibles like we need to? Do we open our Bibles? I got some pages I need to tape up because they're ripped. On some of my favorite verses and passages, they're about ready to fall out of here. I've got a couple of backups. I'm afraid I'm going to have to switch because of the shape of this one, because it's my go-to. I carry it all the time. I got a lot of notes in it. And a physical Bible, to me, I mean, it's okay. I'll read on my phone or an iPad every once in a while, but I need this, and we need to be in God's Word. What is your focus for 2020? If we are worried about everything, how are we going to be focused on what matters to us? If you haven't done it already, as I tried to urge you to do early on in this class, figure out what your priorities are. And I've worked really hard, even during this time, of being consistent and doing what I continue to need to do in my life every day for God, and for my family, for my job, and for taking care of myself as well. So I want you, you know, you got plenty of time right now. If you haven't done it, think about what matters to you. Think about how you're going to execute that this year. You looked at this chart too, and I showed this toward the end of some of the classes. It's basically the world versus the spirit. We come to a knowledge of God's word, and we have to make a decision as to whether or not we're going to obey it. We also have to make sure that we don't allow things that we can't do anything about to control our lives. This is a new chart that I've made up. I think it is. No, maybe this is one I've used before. But it talks about what worry does and what God-centered living does. I've got another one that I want to be able to show you here. And I'm going to kind of run through these real quick to make sure that we get to that. But understand what your priorities are. Don't worry about things that you can't do anything about. Stay focused on overcoming the challenges that we will face in life. Know what your priorities are. Stay focused and try and do the very best that you can to live by them in God's word. Here we go. This is the new slide that I wanted to make sure I got to. If we live a reactive life, we worry, we have negative goal setting, we give control over away, it overwhelms us with emotions, and it distorts facts and changes our reality. But if we are proactive in the way that we live, then we have concern and we seek facts. We talked about this in class, but I didn't have this chart. If we are concerned, we seek facts and choices, we act to have impact on things we can do something about. It reflects intentional life priorities based on how we make our decisions, and it provides peace of mind for us in our lives because of how we're going to live. Check out Philippians 4, 6 through 7 and 13. Make a note of that and look at it if you will. Well, that's the slideshow, and that's pretty much it for the class. I really appreciate everyone that has tuned in for the class this morning. And I appreciate you being in the class again, like we talked about, for the entire quarter. And don't forget, we'll start our new quarter on April the 5th, and we'll have those adult classes recorded as well. I'll put a little plug in for the class that David Lamphere and I are going to teach. David's going to kick the class off. It's Frequently Asked Questions, FAQ, and we're going to get you to start emailing your questions to David. We appreciate everybody so much at West End, and I think this does show our strength in the way everybody's coming together and helping to make all of these classes possible, attending our online electronic worship service, and look forward to seeing you coming up here in about 25 minutes. Thank you. Let's have a prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so very thankful for this day and for the class that we've had today, and we hope and pray that as you look at our lives, that we'll all do the very best we can to forget about the things of this world and focus on you and our relationship with you. Help us to understand that there are many things to be troubled about in life, but if we put our faith and confidence in you, and with you, then there's not anything that we cannot overcome. That's what your word says. Please forgive us where we fall short, and we look forward to the time that we can be back together in person. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining our class.